deserve the glory. Let's all stand and praise and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Top once again, let's sing it with all our hearts. You deserve the glory and the honor. Oh Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name all together. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Thank you, Jesus. There is no one else like you, 'cause you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no like you. There is no one else like you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We just welcome you to the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see each and every one here. We want to just enter in with all of our heart and let God know that we love Him. Got a lot of song specials, folks that would like to sing for us today, so we want to be brief. Also have a great big stack of special needs that we need to bring before the Lord. I'm glad I've got a great big God. He can handle all those needs. Amen. Why don't we sing that song, I Bless Your Name? In prisoner's chain, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain began to see their chains were loose and they were free. Thank you, Lord. I bless your name.
I bless your name. I give you honor, give you praise. You are the life, oh yes, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. Listen now. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, just reach out and praise. Come on now, praise Him. Defy those chains. They're gonna fall. Yes, they will. In Jesus' name. Let's sing it all together now. Hallelujah. I bless your name. Thank you, Lord. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Amen. As the musicians play softly, you may have your seat. I have many needs here that we want to just make before the church. We want to remember Brother Roger Gills. He's having a sinus trouble. I believe he has a sinus infection he's dealing with. We want to remember him, especially in prayer. Also, the drums are not feeling well, so they're not with us this morning. We have some folks traveling. The Wards, I believe, are flying home. We want to remember them in prayer. God grant them traveling mercies. The Cockman family, Brother John Cockman and his family are away. So let's remember them in prayer. Sister Jessie Cockman, she is sick this morning. So we want to remember her. God give her a healing touch in her body. And Brother David and Sister Karen are traveling, and they're in Florida, so we want to remember them as well. I believe Brother David Whitlock had to work, so they're not with us today, so remember them in prayer. I want to remember Brother Wayne and Sister Faye in prayer. Also, we have a prayer request for Sister Mary Ann from Brother Luther to remember her in prayer. Amen. So let's remember her. I want to remember the Vicki Reap family today. She passed away Friday night. This prayer request is for Brother Larry Pruitt. Remember the family in prayer. God would help them in their time of need and grief. Amen. I know what it's like losing a loved one. I want to remember Brother Stephen's Sunday school class is at 3:30 today, so we want to remember that. Brother Steve's Sunday school class, amen. Brother Stephen, would you come today and take these needs before the Lord? Just after he comes, I believe Mitchell, Brother Mitchell, and Sister Sarah Vasaki, and Sister Ashley, I believe, have a song for us, so if y'all would be prepared to come. Amen. Brother Steve. Let's all stand. If you would, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father,
Lord, as we come before you this morning, we come with an attitude of humility. Lord, we come with thankfulness. We have this nice building. We have each other. We have all the blessings that we have. Lord, we give this entire service into your hands. We come as the body of Jesus Christ, and we move ourselves out of the way as best as we know how. And we offer ourselves to you this morning. This is just a building, but when you come, it's different. And when we come, it's the body of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit moving among them, because we are the house of God. And so, Lord, we offer this morning to you that you would move, that you would have the preeminence to move, and that you would touch our hearts and bring our minds subject to the Word of God. Grant it, Father, that you do that, that you'd help the pastor as he comes. And Lord, these many needs that we bring before you, by prayer and petition, we bind our faith together and we offer these many sicknesses and many needs that we have into your hands. And we trust, we have faith in you. We trust that you are more than able to do abundantly above what we ask or think. Lord, it's into your presence that we submit ourselves this morning. We love you and we thank you so much. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray and ask these things. Amen.
You're preparing to come sing that song. Let's sing, "Be It Unto Me According to Thy Word."
Be it unto me according to your word, according to your promises, I can stand secure. Carve upon my heart the truth that sets me free. According to your word, O Lord, be it unto me.
Amen. You may be seated. Appreciate that beautiful song. Have an announcement here to make for Sister Anna. I believe it is for her baby shower honoring Anna Pritchard and Baby Hope. It will be Sunday, January the 7th, immediately following the morning service at the Irish residence, Brother Andy Irish, and that is 1121 Fairway Drive. I think most of us know where that is. This pamphlet will be available if you're unsure of where the address is. Lunch will be provided, RSVP to my wife, Chanel Brown. And there is a note. It says the dads could take the little ones, and that would be most helpful. So we'll certainly try to do that for the women folks. Amen. Why don't we sing a special? I believe we have another song. We have another special from the HBT Retreat Group. I believe they're wanting to sing for us. If they'll be getting prepared, I'd like to sing that song, We Fall Down. Amen.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy. We fall down, we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus.
Let's stand and praise Him.
Greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy. A lamb.
Once again, with all our hearts, let's just enter in.
We fall down, we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. Greatness of His mercy and love at the Jesus, and we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb.
Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't we have our deacons come forward and we'll take up our morning offering. I believe I made a mistake. The notes were a little confusing. I thought there was going to be an extra special from the HBT group and they just sang. Amen. So I apologize for that. Amen. Brother Andy, if you'd lead us in prayer, brother.
Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the gathering.
God still moves. God still moves in the heart of His people. God still moves. He does not sleep, nor does He slumber. God still moves. Oh, God still moves. Hallelujah. God still moves. Amen. Oh, God still moves in the heart of His people. God still moves, does not sleep, nor does He slumber. God still moves. Oh, God still moves.
Amen. Just before the pastor comes, I have one more card that needs to be read. And this is from our family, my Aunt Sherry and Sister Rosie. No wonder there's such a warmth behind the thanks for this thing your way. Your thoughtfulness brought so much joy. It really made our day. My thanks to you all for all that you did. I love you, and I pray God will bless you for all the love and the prayers. All of our love, Sherry Holly and Rose Wright. Amen. God bless them. Amen. Let's like to sing that song, We Shout to the Lord, I'm sorry, just before the pastor comes forward.
My Jesus, my Savior, O Lord, there is none like You. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of Your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, O tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship You. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of Your name. I'll sing for joy at the work of Your hand. Forever I love You, forever I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I had in You. Let's sing from the top. Hallelujah. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like You. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of Your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, O tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am,
Bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I'll sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I love you, forever I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have it. Shout to the Lord, all the earth let us see. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your. I have in you. Sing it again now. Oh, shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. And the seas will roar at the sound. Sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Promise I have in you. Nothing compares. Promise I have in you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have, Lord, to be able to gather in your place, Lord, today. To be able to stand as believers in your word and be able to recognize what you're doing, Lord. And we believe that's a very special blessing and a very special gift. But Lord Jesus, it's easy for men to be able to stand and look back at things and see what you did. And to look ahead and begin to accurately figure out what you're going to do. But Father, to be living in the day and seeing what's taken place, Lord, in this great gathering of your bride and the ingathering of Israel, Father, it just excites us, Lord, to be in tune with you. And we pray now that you would just further enlighten us and just open our eyes and our understanding, Lord, to your word. We depend upon the great teacher to come and minister to our hearts today. And Father God, we just pray now that your Holy Spirit would just speak to our hearts and just warm us with your presence today, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we ask these things. Amen and amen. You're singing so nicely. Let's sing that little chorus, Have Your Way. And we just sing that and we look to the Word this morning.
Have your way. Have your
Lord. You may be seated this morning. God bless you. It's certainly good to be in God's house and good to be with you again. It is certainly a good day to be on the inside. Good day to be on the inside anywhere. And it is an honor to be back with you again. I apologize for not being in touch this week, but we're operating on about 4 hours four hours of sleep per day, and not much time in between. We've had a wonderful retreat, and I'll show you a couple of pictures in just a little bit here. But I want to bring you a couple of prayer requests, and then we have a special one more special that we're going to have this morning. We have a note here for Sister Anja's co-worker, Vicki Reap, who we had been mentioning in prayer, and finally she succumbed to cancer and passed away on Friday night. So we sure want to remember that family. We also want to remember Sister Anja. She was very close to her co-worker, and certainly a great loss for her. Brother Eddie Watkins is in hospital in Charleston, South Carolina. He is considered critical stable, and they are giving him the strongest antibiotics that are available because of a fungus and infection that's in his lungs. They're keeping him sustained on a breathing apparatus, and it's a very serious situation. I heard from Brother Jason this morning, and he said that he believes that it's only prayer that's keeping him alive. He said it's just a very critical situation for him. So we are continuing to remember him in prayer. I don't know if the McCaffreys were mentioned this morning, but they're also away, and so we want to remember them in prayer as well. While we were at the Winter Youth Retreat, we received word that Sister Becky's uncle, Norman Fortner, passed away. He lived in Withville, and the funeral will be on Tuesday. And Norman was a good man. We had known him for many, many years and a friend of the family. And we'll certainly miss Norman. Also, as well, as a shock to us, we had been praying for Brother Sammy McDonald in Ireland. Brother Sammy had been given up by the doctors, and we prayed. There was lots of people who prayed. And Brother Sammy was taken off the life support system, and he didn't pass away. And he was steadily improving and improving and improving. And this Sunday, they were going to move him to a rehab hospital in another part of the city where he was. And he's going to be given rehab to get back on his feet again. And on Saturday morning, he had sustained a heart attack and passed away. And the Lord took him home. And in a case like that, it's generally, I mean, we don't always know what God is doing, and I don't want to second guess God, but in a situation like that, I feel like it was his time to go. But I believe in mercy, God gave the family just that extra bit of time to be able to spend with Brother Sammy. He had multiple health issues and complications, and just those last few weeks that they had with him and over Christmas, and then a slight heart attack and had no reserve left and just passed away and slipped off into eternity. And, you know, it's a real loss. Brother Sammy was younger than I am and a good man and somebody who certainly loved the Lord, and I believe that we'll see him over on the other side. So we'd ask you to remember not only Sister McDonald and the rest of the family there, but also the Silvas who are here today. Their brother, Paulo, who we know, that's his father-in-law. And so we sure want to remember the whole family as well. We are honored to have Daniel and Olivia here with us today. And they came over to be at the retreat. And you have to kind of understand a little bit about their family. Are the lead translators for the Portuguese language, as I've mentioned to you before. And Brother Paulo heads that up, and then the family helps out in proofing and getting that done. And it's been a great blessing to people who speak Portuguese in different parts of the world. But you also have to understand as well that if we took their whole church, we could fit them all on the front row of the church here. And just from a little group, and they certainly don't have much fellowship. So to be in the room there with almost 200 young people and singing the way they did over the weekend at the retreat was a great blessing for them and a great opportunity. So we're going to have them come this morning, and they're going to sing play for us here this morning. So why don't you come on, And Sister Olivia is a doing her master's degree in music composition, and they sang for us at the retreat and sang in Portuguese. And we were just blessed by their ministry. We had bachelor's degree, in composition. And we were blessed to have them sing. And we had great talent. My goodness. John Anthony, I got an echo here. We had great talent over at the retreat, and the choir sang together. And I wish I could get you a little clip of the choir singing. It was really, really wonderful. And we had so many specials and so many people singing that it lapped over into the morning sessions, which is a highly unusual event, but we got it done. And we were blessed to have them. So Daniel and Olivia are going to sing for us this morning, and they're going to be two things. You need to pray for them that they don't freeze solid, because it ain't this cold in Portugal, let me tell you something. It's pretty warm over there. And then secondly, they're going to be going back on Tuesday morning, back over to Portugal again. Are we ready? Okay.
Contemplo, oh Pai, na beleza da Tua santidade, Te adoro com amor, em espírito e em verdade, por aquilo que Tu és, eu me prostro aos Teus pés, ministrando
Thank you.
Wonderful. We appreciate that so very much. We also appreciate the fact that while Olivia and Daniel are here blessing us, they have no music over in their church because they're the music over in their church. So they certainly will be missed over that way. But we're glad to have them for at least a few days. Let me show you a couple of scenes here from the retreat, and then we'll bring this up here, and then we'll look into the Word this morning. I still have that echo that's on there this morning. We also, too, if you don't mind, I'd like you to remember Sister Alana Butts, who is we've been praying for, and Sister Alana is undergoing chemotherapy for classic Hodgkin's lymphoma, and I assured them that we'd be remembering them in prayer over this week, and she started chemo treatments, started actually a couple of days ago. So we assured Brother David that we'd be remembering her in prayer. So if you don't mind, keep that on your prayer list. December 21st, 31st is today, and that's Stephen and Danielle Swofford's anniversary. I communicated with them this morning. And also January 2nd, it is Ruth and Maggie Franklin's birthday. And then January 6th is Mike Pritchard's birthday. Good to have all the Pritchard family here with us today. January 27th, we've got people coming from far and wide to have an evening with the LaFontaines. It'll be Saturday evening in Newton over here. And we're going to be putting out a poster so you can see that and be able to distribute that to people that you know. And we're going to have lots of people who are going to be coming from around. So we want you to invite family and friends, and then Brother Paul is going to be ministering here on that Sunday morning. A couple of images here from the retreat, and we really appreciated all of our crew that came over and did the work they did to prepare and get things ready for the retreat, and they had a marvelous time. Some time is spent doing this, where people are able to get together. And also, it's Daniel's birthday. Yesterday was Daniel's birthday, right? Daniel, God bless you. How old are you? 20 years old. God bless you. Young people are all going to take him out today for his birthday, the other day. They didn't know that, but they are. So these are just some of the random shots here from the meeting. This is the banquet, I believe. No, this is after the last service on that last day before we left. This one here, and just some of the kids there fellowshipping. This is the choir that sang. It was a great group of choir, great group in the choir, and great songs that they sang. It's a real blessing for that. This is our banquet. It's a little darker there. And the kids always enjoy getting together and having the banquet together. We appreciated Brother Keith and Sister Sarah and the work that they did, not only during the retreat, but all the hours and time that spent before the retreat. And we gave them a special little gift. It's a small token, but we certainly do really appreciate all that they did. And then this was a skit that the boys did and Vanessa did at the banquet that we had, and I never figured out why they all had to wear overcoats, and most of them did in the skit, but they did, and it was really quite funny. Campers of the Year. First time ever we had four Campers of the Year, and these are the guys who worked so hard during the retreat, Mitchell and Ryan Snow, and our very own John Anthony Single Harwell, and Lucas. And I tried my best to get John Anthony hitched up and get him married over there. Found a table full of girls one day at lunch and just parked him right in the middle of those girls. And I told him, I said, despite what he says, he is independently wealthy. Don't let him fool you. He's independently wealthy. And but it didn't work. The girls were smarter than that. And but because of their great help and their attitude and the example that they are, they earned the Campers of the Year this year for the male award, the coveted male award. And then the female award went to Sister Haley Johnson this year. And Sister Haley did a great job, not only during the retreat and all the decorating and work that she did, but even before then. So we appreciated Sister Haley and her work. This is the HBT group here, and we are always delighted to have our HBT group to be a part of the retreat, and it's always a blessing. I think next year we'll have more people who are going to the retreat. And always excited to see the new crop coming. So, may the Lord bless you this morning. Let's stand to our feet and let's take our Bibles and look to the Word of the Lord. Now, as you're standing, and I want you to take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 2. I need you to do a little something for me. This is for our church folks here. We have a one-page survey that we're going to put in the library, and it's available to you. And it's really simple. We don't need your name on it. It's just an effort to gain a little bit of insight into our website activity. So these are yes-no questions. You don't need to put your name on it. But if you don't mind, pick one up and fill it out. You can either give it to Stephen or just leave it in the library over there. And it will be a great help to us to gain some information, to gather some information so that we can plan and improve things. So that's available for you. If you don't mind, just take a minute to do that. Even if you don't use the website very much, that information is certainly helpful to us. All right. Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. And if you don't mind, before we read, let's just ask his blessing on the word this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all you do and all you provide for us, Lord. And now we ask and invite you to come and minister to our hearts, Lord, in the way that only the great Holy Spirit can, Lord. Take your word, I pray. Break it, fill our cups, Lord, and feed our hungry souls. We thank you so much for this opportunity we have to gather and to study and to learn of you. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And everybody said? Amen. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. Turn me down just a shade here. William, I'm still got an echo. All right. Luke chapter 2. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture for us here. We begin in verse 8. Sorry. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You can imagine how for 4,000 years people had waited for that announcement, right? This is the announcement that everybody had ever waited for. And now here it is, unto you this day in the city of David, not coming now anymore. All these 4,000 years of prophecies now have ended. Unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing. Keep your Bible open and you may be seated. Read on with me just a little bit further here if you don't mind. I'd like to title this morning, Unto You This Day. Unto you this day. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, the biblical word there that's used for manger, from the French extraction, manger is the word to eat. And a manger was a place, a trough, like where animals would eat. But in the Greek language, a manger is something that is absolutely common. It is ordinary. It is rough. It is of no count. That's what that word means. So when Jesus was born, you can imagine now, this is part of the message that the angel is bringing to those people that are there. This shall be a sign unto you to find the babe and wrapped in swaddling clothes. And remember, this is the Savior of the world. This is the Savior of mankind. The one who has long been promised. And here he is lying in a no-count, rough, mangy manger. He's going to be lying in a place where animals eat from. And this is what we want you to go and see. And suddenly, there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and from on earth, peace, goodwill to men, toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, and I mean, this would be perhaps one of the great understatements of the scripture, let's go see. Let's go see if this is true. What have we got to lose here? This is very extraordinary. Let's go see if this is true. And go unto Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And this is not a far distance. This is just very close here. So they decide to go. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, just exactly as the angel had said. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So here they are now, kind of like the woman at the well scenario, where they've seen something that's absolutely extraordinary and absolutely supernatural, and it's announced to them by angels. The message they get has come to them by angels. Nobody's told them this earthwise. Nobody in the parallel here has told them anything earthwise. This is directly from heaven. And they've got this at the mouth of angels. Are you with me this morning? And these shepherds, they go into town and they begin to tell, they broadcast the saying to everybody who's there. And they told them concerning this child. And perhaps they would not have understood everything about the child and the significance of the whole event. But they went saying, hey, guess what? There was an apparition last night. There was an appearing of these angels. And this is what they look like. And they came out of nowhere. And they told us about this child. And we went and saw it. And truly, there's a child there. You can imagine how the people in the town must have looked at that. Even though for 4,000 years they had been aware of the promise of a Savior, the promise of a Messiah. And the Bible says in 18 that when they, all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. They wondered at these things. They would have heard the saying of the shepherds and tried to digest it, I guess. They would have tried to kind of figure out, well, you know, I mean, we kind of can't put this together. Because remember now, as I've been saying to you before over the last little while, when something is said, we all get an image of the meaning of what is said. We all have an idea about what that means, right? When something is prophesied or forecast, we get an idea of what that means. And we have it in our minds. We have a picture of what that means. And all of the things that were said about the coming Messiah and the coming Jesus that would be the Savior of the world, those statements are, in a sense, they're all over the map. They're random statements to Jewish people because they involve the description of a child, the description of a son, the description of a human being all the way to a great king of kings and the governor and the prince and all the rest of it. All of these statements are made here about this coming Messiah. And now all of a sudden he shows up. He's right here. He shows up in this place and he's lying in a manger. And this certainly is a strange thing. Now, if you don't mind, let me give you a couple of statements here just to warm you up. And this is one that we've mentioned here several times. Brother Branham said that many miss him by the way that he reveals himself. Many miss him by the way he reveals himself. It's the way God does it is what really throws a wrench in things. It is not that God reveals himself, because without God revealing himself, no one would ever see him, because God is a spirit. But it's the way God does it. It's the methods that God uses. It's the people that God reveals himself through. That's the way it really throws people off, right? And when you have a character like John the Baptist, or you have, some of the different characters through the Old Testament, hey, folks, look around. Even the way that God reveals himself in this day, look around. It's through the bride of Christ that God is revealing himself in this last day, right? It's not on the clouds, and it's not, we've had a prophet, and the prophet has come and gone. And the way God's revealing himself now today is through his bride. Through this message that resides in the bride of Christ. And Brother Branham tells us that many people miss him by the way that he reveals himself. Men have their own ideas of what God ought to be. And that is no different today than what it's ever been. People have their own idea of what God ought to be. Now, we can say this as well, and I want to, this kind of crystallizes what we want to say today. In the message called Time-Tested Memorials of God, Brother Branham was talking about Joshua and how God told him that he was going to cross over the River Jordan and that he was going to take Jericho, and Jericho being a walled city as big as it was, but God had a plan to do that. And so Joshua tells the people one day, he says, I want you to go stand in the river, and when you stand in the river, the water's going to stop and the priest will stand in the middle and all the people will go past. And he had a plan. He had it laid out. And so when Joshua said what he did to the people, his word was at stake. He had to believe by faith that it was God that told him that. And then he had to believe also that it was going to happen. And so the people had to trust Joshua and follow him out in the path that God had led him on. And yet, Brother Branham tells us gives us a little key here. Remember now, it's the way God reveals himself. That's what it is that messes up men's thinking, right? He said it was the month of April when the snow was melting in Judea and coming down through the mountains. And he said, and Jordan is muddy. It spread plumb out into the fields. And it looked like he picked the worst time of the year to cross Jordan. It looked like, I mean, in terms of planning, it looked like, as Brother Branham said, it looked like he picked the worst time. And if you see the River Jordan, it's not a, we often think of the River Jordan. I remember the first time seeing it, I looked at it and I said, that's it? It really is quite a small river. And a lot of it nowadays is because the waters are diverted into agricultural use. But even back then, the River Jordan was not a great big river, but it runs along a flat valley bottom, so that when the waters come up over the banks there, it actually looks kind of square. The water would run flat out into the valley and fertilize the water of the valleys there. But it's not a great big river. And when Brother Branham says that when Joshua came to this place where they had to cross now, it looked like it was a great big mistake, because it would have been the worst time of the year. The waters were swelling because of the snow that was melting. And he said Jordan is muddy. And it looked like he picked the worst time of all the year to cross Jordan. Then he says, but God likes to take these kinds of times to prove that he's God. And men of God who believe God and know what God has promised are not afraid to do it, because God will stick with his word just as certain as he's God. So there's two things here that are very important for us to hang on to. Very simple, but I think they're very important. And I think in my heart, the way God's been dealing with me, I really feel like these two things are going to matter to us. Because number one, that if God says something, we believe that God's going to fulfill it just exactly the way that he has said it. Not necessarily the way we think it, but he's going to fulfill it exactly the way that he has said it. All right? That's number one. And that sounds very simple. We say things like that lots of times. There's lots and lots and lots of statements where Brother Branham says exactly the same thing. But I believe that there are times when God will, there are times coming where God will test us with that belief and that faith that we have that God's going to fulfill His word. But I believe that it will be in times that are not good. Looking ahead, looking down the road, I believe that this will happen in times that are not always good. Because it seems like the pattern is that God will choose times that are not the best in order to fulfill some of the best promises. Some of the best things that God has ever done have been done in hard times. Some of the best and most exciting things and most important things that God has done have been done in times that are less than ideal. And when we look at this, when we look at this passage, and you look at the first part versus the yellow part here, Joshua had to believe that what was actually going on was the word of God, and that God was going to see it through. God was going to fulfill it just exactly as He told Joshua. And he had to have no doubt about it. I mean, if you're going to stand out in the river and the river running fast, you've got to have confidence that something's going to happen, right? And so Joshua had to have that kind of faith. But the people that followed him also had to have faith that God somehow had spoken to this leader and was actually telling him to go stand in the river and we're going to follow him. It isn't just Joshua in the river, but it's all of us standing in the river too, right? And so remember now, this is not just, Brother Branham bringing the message, but now, by faith, we've got to take that message and we've got to stand in our river in the last day and we've got to cross over on the other side. So it's not just the prophet going ahead of us, and it's not just, great supernatural events that he did. But, this message was not intended for us to stay here and be better citizens of America. This message was intended to take us across the river and make us better citizens in the kingdom over there. And so we've got to step in the river. We've got to do it. But my theory is, my feeling is that when all of this actually comes to pass and we step out of here, it's not going to be the best of times. It's probably going to be the worst of times. Prior to the tribulation, worst of times. Now, the prophets have said and indicated that, the times coming, the tribulation times coming are going to be worse on the earth than any other time that any calamity has ever come. And that's a daunting thing when you think about it. Because with all of the crusades and the Holocaust and all the other terrible things that have been done through time, you can imagine, you can sort of imagine. Well, we really can't imagine how bad it would be. When you add all of that up and have it happen in a couple of years, my goodness. You think about 68 million people who died during the Dark Ages, which was almost, it was over 1,000 years, right? And 68 million people died. Take calamity on that scale and condense it into a very short period of time. Wow. And that's the way it's going to be. Prior to that time is what we refer to as a squeeze. And believe me, even though we're heading into it, we're not there yet. But I believe when God takes us across onto the other side, when we traverse the river, I don't believe it'll be good times. I believe it'll be difficult times. And I believe then there will be a people identified who believe that whatever God said, it's going to happen, even if nothing in the earth and nothing within my senses declares that it will be so. I believe it'll happen. Because we're going to be a people, I believe the bride of Christ, and I say we're going to be a people that believe God's word because God said it, and for no other reason. For no other reason. Not because it's convenient, not because it's popular, and not because it's obvious. It's going to be hidden. And that's the reason I believe Brother Bannon made the statement he did. Many people miss him by the way he reveals himself. It's the way God fulfills his word that's the issue. Now remember, God, we've said before, this is it's a phenomena. It's God dwelling alone and then God all of a sudden wanting to show himself. And God's got attributes, right? For Savior and Healer and Father and Deliverer, Comforter and Teacher and Life Giver. And all, in order for all of those attributes that laid in God to be displayed, he had to have a creation. And so, in the beginning, God was not able to be seen or touched or heard or in any way felt. He was not a God that exposed himself to our senses. So he condescended. He became something that was more tangible, more real to us until we come down to where we are today. And that's been the story all the way from the beginning. But I want to drop in another scripture here for you that may not seem to be connected, but I want you just to think about it here. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13:2 that we should not be forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, I believe that this is true, and there are testimonies that I've heard people give that sounded very much like, there were probably angels on the scene and maybe never really fully understood until after the fact, because they showed up, you know, and did something that was really on the level of supernatural, and then were gone. And I've heard some very credible testimonies about incidents that have taken place. But I want you to just take note this morning of this little phrase, angels unawares, or strangers unawares, because it is an unusual phrase, and I just want to drop it in your thinking this morning. It means to receive someone as a guest, and someone who would come by surprise. Like, whoa, out of the blue. This is someone here because of the strangeness and novelty of a thing. Hey, this has not been done before. Never seen anything like this before. The meaning would be that someone would be astonished at the novelty of a thing and think, wow, that's strange. And have that kind of reaction. That actually an angel could come to your door. An angel could come and you know, visit you or somehow do something for you. There's a shock element here that's involved in this. Now, here's a good example of this. And it's embedded in the story of Peter, who is over at the house of Simon the Tanner in Joppa. And Joppa is a place on the seacoast, and it would be a very popular place for people to be. And Peter was up on top of the roof of the house there, just kind of catching some rays and catching the breeze up on the top. And the Bible says that he lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. And all those words in yellow are examples of this phrase, the stranger unaware. And verse 18 says that there was all of a sudden, Peter's up there lounging up there, and he's just resting. He's not there for any other reason. And all of a sudden, there's a vision that appears before him. And in this vision, there's a sheet. And in the sheet, there's animals, clean and unclean, considered according to the Old Testament law. And the angel tells him, rise, slay, and eat. Peter, it's all yours. Peter says, hey, I'm not going to do that. God says, or the angel says to him, rise, slay, and eat, Peter. It's all good. I've given it all to you. Peter, you know, his reaction is, wow, this is strange. This is not ordinary. It's pretty unusual. I mean, he's got to make an evaluation here. He's got to say, is this God or is it not? Right? He's got to look at this, because this is not, I mean, within the normal scheme of things. Then as he wrestles with that and as he looks at that and he eventually complies with that, all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. And someone comes to the door and says, hey, you got a guy named Peter. He's up on the roof up there. We need to talk to him. Wow, that's strange. And then they begin to talk to Peter, and they say, hey, our master sent for us, Cornelius, and you may not know him because he's a Gentile. And Peter didn't know him. He's a Gentile. And he said, that, you know, they essentially said to Peter, the Holy Spirit spoke to Cornelius and said that his alms have been heard in heaven, and he needs you to come over here and preach to him because you've got the Holy Ghost and you've got the word of the hour, and we need you to come over because there's a whole bunch of people over here needing salvation. But the thing is, and the thing you got to know is that they're Gentiles. Yeah, right. This is strange. Whoa. This is not the ordinary thing. This is not the ordinary run of events. And not only that, but they know exactly where Peter is. They're directed somehow right to this house where Peter is, and they're looking at this, and they, you know what? They know just exactly what's going on inside this place, and it seems like somebody's got this under control, and everybody's not aware of what's taking place, but then they come into it to play their own part. Right? Cornelius plays a part. And all those people are gathered at Cornelius' house. And then the messengers go do this. And Simon's over here. And he receives Peter. And Peter's up here. And Peter doesn't really fully understand what's going on. But all of these little parts eventually come together. And we see the outcome of the story. And it makes sense at the end of it. But while it's happening, my goodness, that's unusual. And there's a shock value. There's a shock factor in this. Because this is not the ordinary stuff that's going on. And that's why I believe that Paul writes and tells us, don't be forgetful to entertain strangers. Because sometimes you really don't know who you're entertaining. Kind of makes a little bit more sense now, doesn't it? When you think about this. Because this is something that happens out of the ordinary. Now, again, Brother Branham makes another statement here, and thy seed shall possess the gate of your enemies, of the enemies. He said, it looked like it was a poor strategy again for them to go across Jordan. And this is the same idea of Joshua crossing Jordan. He said it was the worst time in the world when the river is the highest. So this does not seem like a good time at all. But usually, God lets you get to the end of the road, the last mile of the way, and then he steps in. That's a key for us. So sometimes the troubles that people go through and the pressures and the stresses you feel, and we all feel them, those are not times where you should be thinking, well, God doesn't love me, but rather we should be looking for God to step in. Because that's the pattern we need to be aware of. We need to be aware of the fact that God does not always make everything around us easy and rosy. And if you're sitting there thinking, well, my goodness, we've got trouble, so therefore we must have missed the will of God somewhere. No, it may just be the opposite. Because the troubles that you feel and the pressures you feel are really staging an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to step in and do something great in an atmosphere that you cannot change. Wow. That's, listen, folks, this is not the convenient way for us to think. This is not the ideal way for us to think. Many times, and I don't care, I've heard it recently, I've heard it from people serving the Lord many years, I've heard it from ministers, I've heard it from lots of people, because humanly speaking, this is the way we think, that if we serve God, everything ought to be great, everything ought to be smooth, everything ought to be growing, we should be prospering, there should be no money problems, there should be no health problems, there should be no issues at all, and then all of a sudden something will happen and strike your family. And you think, wow, that's contrary to what I expect. That's contrary to the way I view serving the Lord. That's contrary to the way that I feel like a Christian should be walking with God. When everything is right, and you know, you look out in the pew at your children, and everybody's shoes are shined, and everybody's ironed, and everybody's coordinated, and everybody's dressed, and you could step into a picture for Facebook, and everybody would look at that and say, wow, there's a family that's got it together. And in reality, it doesn't always happen that way. Hey, there are times when we get it together, right? And we're proud to post the pictures. And then there are other times you look at it and you say, I don't think I can put another foot in front of the other one. I don't know what's going on here, but I'm ready to throw in the towel. I'm ready just to quit, and I'm ready to leave, and I'm ready to resign. Wherever, and whatever I can resign, I'm going to resign. And you're looking around for a form to fill out or somebody to talk to or an office door to knock on and say, where do I resign? And you find out there ain't none. And then you come Sunday night and you realize, wow, the Holy Spirit has another way of coming around telling you that he loves you. And you just feel like, all right, I'll come Wednesday night. I'll give it one more shot. I'll be there Wednesday night. And God has a way of reminding us over and over and over again that he loves us and he cares for us. And you know what? You're not in this whole thing by fluke or by circumstance. You're in it by predestination. And God's got a bigger plan than how you feel this morning sitting right there in your pew. God's got a bigger plan, a bigger program than just your emotions here today, because, hey, we're living in a time when the world's falling apart. Most of our minds are falling apart. Certainly our bodies are falling apart. And we'd love to have it easier. But usually, God lets you get to the end of the road, the last mile of the way. And then he steps in. If you're a seed of Abraham, believe God and hold his promise for healing, salvation, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and whatever the enemy is, whatever your need is. God lets you get sometime right at the end of the road, and it looks worse than it ever did. The doctor says there's not a chance, but you're the seed of Abraham with a promise that you shall possess the gate of every enemy. Praise God. Amen. Somebody say amen out there. But you're the seed of Abraham, and that's the difference. There's no guarantee of an easier life. There's no guarantee of a smoother road. There's no guarantee that everything is going to transition cleanly and smoothly from one phase of your life to the next. The only thing you got going for you is that you're a seed of Abraham, and the seed of Abraham don't give up. They don't throw in the towel because they can't. There's something on the inside that holds them and holds them to the promise and keeps them faithful to the age that they're living in. There's a promise there burning in our hearts that you shall possess the gate of every enemy, and we shall inherit the inheritance that God has laid out for us. I don't really know how it works, but I'll tell you what, I'm glad it's there. Because that's the thing that holds us. It's not your determination. It's not your discipline that holds you. And it's not your joy that holds you either. It is you're the seed of Abraham. And that's at the end of the day, that's really what matters. Because there are going to be things that happen to all of us that we mentally can't figure out. And then we can't juggle and put in place or in a straight row and get all of our ducks lined up. There's a lot of things that are going to happen to us that we will question for the rest of our lives. But it does not discount the fact that if you're a seed of Abraham, nothing ever is going to take you off that road that God's got you on. Now, let's just look now, because this gets interesting in a specific way. And as I've mentioned to you already, God had attributes, and He wanted those attributes to be on display. In Wine Little Bethlehem in 1963, Brother Branham says, in this little town, this little stable down here by the side of the bluff, there came forth through its little doors the Prince of Peace, born in straw, manure, up to the barn. He said, but out of there came the great prince, the seed of the woman. Out of there came the Savior of the world. When you go to Bethlehem, if you've ever been, or if you are able to go, Lord willing, if we take a trip in a year or two, if you get to go to Bethlehem, it's such a rowdy place. But if you ever get to go to Bethlehem, there's no one over there knows where that cave is, because it was so common and ordinary. It was so plain and simple. It was so unspecial, unextraordinary, that no one marked it. It was just a place for animals. Like, there's no signs that say, this is where the Savior was born. This is where it all happened, folks. And all the interstates lead to there with great parking places and grottos and everything else. You're just kind of standing there in the field. And the only thing you really know is that when the angels came to the shepherds, they were standing in a field. And there still is a field there. And that's really all there is. There's nothing else to mark it, because this was a place where, like Brother Branham said, it just had little doors. It was just manure piled up there, straw on the floor, animals inside. This would have been something that, you know, somebody just took possession of because they needed a place to put their animals in out of the night air. And really, that's all it was. There's nothing else special about it. But out of those doors came the Savior of the world, came Jehovah Himself in the form of a man, came out of that little humble stable in Bethlehem. That's where He came. And He came out of there because that's what the Scripture said would happen. And that's where the Scripture said it would happen. As for me, when I come from Padan, and this is back in Genesis, and this is Isaac and Jacob telling their story about how they came out. Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan. And how that, in her childbirth and so on with Benjamin, and, you know, she named the place and the midwife named the place and so forth. So the story of Bethlehem goes all the way back to the book of Genesis here. And this was a very special place and time, very special for God. And you would think, wow, Bethlehem. In your mind, I know you've got a picture of Bethlehem and what it looks like. I know that because of the way we've described it. Now, you got to remember, though, the people who lived in the days of Jesus 2,000 years ago, in John chapter 7, listen to what the Bible says. Many of the people, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. They're listening to Jesus speak. And some are saying, we know there's supposed to be a prophet come. Now, John the Baptist has already come and gone. And they're thinking, wow, this is the prophet. And others said, well, this is the Christ. But some said, Christ shall come out of Galilee. And have not the Scripture said? They've got the Scripture that says exactly where He would come from. Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? Doesn't the Bible say that somewhere? Yes. And these folks are not strangers to the Scriptures. They're not. They've heard this all their life. They've been in the tabernacle, in the temple all their life. And they've heard this. And they've got the Scriptures right there. They can look at them and they can read them. And they're still looking at Jesus, the fulfillment of those Scriptures. And they're wondering, well, maybe it's not Him. Maybe it's someone else. Maybe it's a prophet. And maybe, could this be the time? And they're living right in the unfolding. They're living right in the fulfilling of it. And they can't figure it out, even though they've got the Scripture right there. And they got the book open. And they said, hath not the Scripture said? This is exactly what was going to take place. These Scriptures are not new. These Scriptures were in place since the book of Genesis. So these are not new at all. But they're living right there in the middle of it. That's why I said in my prayer at the opening of this service here, it is a great blessing for us to be able to see and hear and understand what God's doing right now. It's easy to be able to look back, and that's what they were doing. And it's easy to look ahead and try to figure out what God's going to do up there. But for you to live in our day and to be able to see and understand what's taking place in our time, my goodness, that really is a special thing. That really is a special thing. Because back then it would have been hard. It would have been hard for them to really get excited and happy about what God was doing because the circumstances were not so great. And remember the key that we've got. The key says that, God will wait for the worst time in order to do some of the greatest things. Right? That's the key. So 400 years ago, the Romans were in control. There were people like the Maccabee brothers who were, they were a pain in the neck to the Romans because they were always burning something down. They were always blowing up Roman chariots. They were always causing havoc. That's just the Maccabees. And then there was other groups that were in place in Israel who just did not want to have the Romans there. And they were fighting for all kinds of reasons. Political reasons, financial reasons, government control, taxes. There were businessmen who lost their businesses because of, excessive taxation. There was all kinds of things that were going on back then. And lots of people outside of religious reasons were trying to overthrow the Romans. So there was a constant fight. And the Roman Empire, which was very big, all of this tan stuff here, was all the Roman Empire back in that day. Many, many of their resources were focused on this area of Judea right here, because all the rest of these areas right here were not troublesome at all, but Judea was a hotbed of discontent. There was something about the people they didn't want to be bound. There was something about the people they didn't want to be held in place by the Romans. They wanted to be free, because that is characteristic of all God's people. They don't want to be bound by anything. Back then, they fight natural battles, and back then, they had natural soldiers that they fought against, but there's just something about God's people. Can you say amen? There's something about God's people. They resist being held down by some superior force that's not God. They're willing to be prisoners of Christ, but they're not willing to be prisoners of lust or prisoners of pornography or prisoners of, lies or a proudful spirit or anything else that comes. Hey, we enjoy our freedom. We love our freedom. We ought to be thankful for our freedom. We ought to be thankful for the freedom that we have here today, that we can worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. I read to the kids who were over at the Winter Youth Retreat, and I don't think I have the sheet here. There's a couple of examples where over in Russia, because of the confiscation issue that they had with a Voice of God shipment that was sent over there, that they have delayed the trial that they were going to have because of the shipment that came into the country, and they were evaluating to see whether this material that was being sent by Voice of God into the country was actually heretical or provocative, whether it was insightful for the people, incite them into rebellion. And so the government said, we're going to prevent any of the message from being preached in the Russian country, the entire land of Russia, until we make a decision about this shipment that we received from Voice of God. And so they shut down, they essentially have legally shut down the preachers from preaching in Russia until they decide about the case. Now, let me just say this. I want to say two things about this. Number one, years ago, we warned Voice of God that this is going to happen because you're shipping in everything instead of printing it in the country. And you're a red flag to a border guard who will look at this material sometime and say, hey, what is this stuff that's coming in here? I happen to know that there's somebody who in North America tipped off the Russian authorities to look in that container. Now, that's why I say, these forces are not just isolated in a specific small area. These forces are in the world, and I will tell you, they're in this country. Now, secondly, these are not natural battles. These are spiritual forces that are working against what God's trying to do. Now, I don't believe for a minute that it shut down the Russian preachers over there. I believe that they're still preaching and they're still ministering to the people. But very quickly, things can happen in our world that will change the laws against us. And that's why I say we should value our freedoms. The second story I want to tell you, and just very briefly, is that in India, two days ago, there was a pastor over there who was arrested. And the pastor and his wife ran a church in a small part of India over there. And India is very hostile towards Christians all across the board. And this pastor had a church and he had an orphanage. And it's very common in third world countries to have an orphanage associated with a church because there are always widows and there are always little children who are abandoned by parents, or parents die in wars or because of diseases or other circumstances. So there's always orphans and there's always widows over there. And the government has no facility in those countries to look after all the widows and orphans. So that's very common. And they have it in Africa, in India, in China, lots of different places where there are believers. There are orphanages associated with them, with their churches, because churches are caregivers. And very often they reach out to the community. Like, you know, we have some widows here, some older folks, and we have, some situations that, you know, if the government didn't help, we would probably be involved in helping people in our assembly. And that's the right thing to do. You know, it's great that we have a government that cares. It's great that we have families who care for one another. But, you know, we are a part of that helping for people in the church. And that's a right thing to do. So this is not uncommon in third world countries. But this pastor in India was just arrested because they said, the authorities said, that these church leaders are going to indoctrinate these children and then find homes for them. And they charged them with trafficking illegally little children and exploiting them by brainwashing them. And so this pastor, who's a young man and has a three-year-old child, they were just arrested. The man was put into one prison. The wife of the pastor was put in another prison. The child was given to the grandmother. And now, because we're over the New Year's holiday, everything is shut down. The court system and the judges are all off because of New Year's. And they're not going to be heard at all, even until next week. This is a pastor just like I would be. And the laws of that country, the authorities came and shut down that church, shut down that orphanage, and took that pastor and his wife, put them in two separate prisons. And I want to assure you something. Prisons in third world countries are no places to be. They are horrible, horrible places. And they're stuck in prison over there because the government said, we're not going to have that message church operating there and having an orphanage and caring for those kids. And they charged them with a number of felonious charges. And I've got a listing of them. I got them written down in my book over here. Insurrection to the people, causing unrest and disharmony in the country, and brainwashing for children. Just a bunch of different things that are going on. All I'm saying is this, is that we can see we're moving into a time where stuff like this happens. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I often say that. I'm really not. I got to give you the full counsel of God. And I'm just telling you, stuff happens. In this world, stuff's happening. And we love it when everything is level, everyone sings right, everybody's dressed right, everybody shows up at church. We love that. But we're moving into a time where there are pressures out there that I think that we haven't tasted at all. And you're going to need more than just an association with this church in order to continue believing. You're going to have a real birth. Something on the inside that holds you, because it isn't going to be me that holds you then. It's going to be the Holy Spirit that holds you back in that time. Now, so what I'm saying is that Rome had a massive amount of influence in the populated world. And this is where a lot of the trade and commerce took place around the Mediterranean, in the European countries and so forth. The trade routes from the Orient over here down to Africa, in the Saudi Arabian area, in the Middle East. And all of this was the center of the world back in that day. And the most resources that Rome had were focused over here in Judea, because there were laws passed against the people and the people rejected them and they rose up against them. And so there was a lot of problem. So back in that time now, in that scenario and in that circumstance, not only that, but in Matthew chapter 2, as we read last Sunday, we're the testimony going out of a whole village full of children slaughtered by Roman soldiers for no reason except they're little children. The only justification for the slaughter of these children is that we have a king who's nuts. We have a king who's mad. And he decided that he was going to have all the children slain in this village here because he did not want to lose his throne. Imagine now, a grown man on the throne, and he's worried about a one-year-old who's going to take his throne. You know what we got? We got a man who's got problems. Because by the time this little guy grows up, in order to be able to wear the crown in the first place, this guy's going to be dead. But he's out there, and he's possessed by a spirit. And he's looking out at this and afraid that he's going to lose his kingdom to a one-year-old or a two-year-old. And so he has everybody slaughtered. It is not just the movements or the decisions of a madman. It is the prophecies that are given back here that dictate certain things are going to happen in that time. And that's what's more important for us to understand. Let me add another layer of complexity into here and say that in reality, Bethlehem has not really changed a great deal. This is modern Bethlehem. And these are scenes that are typical on the streets of Bethlehem because there's so much trouble and there's so many problems there and so much insurrection and there's so much dispute between Palestinians and Jews now. It is absolutely an amazing place. And it's a place where a lot of people don't get in and see. You don't get in and see things like this. These are reporters that have allowed pictures to be taken and sent out. But this is Bethlehem today. It's still a place of trouble. It's still a place where it's hard to believe that God could actually do something so great in an environment so volatile. Take your Bible for a minute, if you don't mind. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 60. Everybody still with me? Now, just take a look here. Now, again, now, I'm trying to underscore a point here that if God's going to be doing something today, we should not be looking for it to happen in an environment that is going to be clean and smooth and everything's going to run correctly and right and conducive to our expectations. It's probably going to happen quite differently. In Isaiah chapter 60, there's another layer of complexity that is added here because remember now, before we start to read here, that for all of their lifetime, the promises were made to Abraham and his seed. And the assumption was that the Jewish people were the seed of Abraham, his offspring. They were considered the Jews. And so therefore, if the promise perennially had been given to Abraham and his seed, it's only Abraham and his seed who are going to receive the promises. I mean, no one else is. And so the assumption is that why would we think that the Buddhists are going to have an involvement in this whole program of God? They're not Abraham and his seed. And so it's illogical for us to think about this. And I'm telling you that in the same way, that would be illogical. It would be illogical also for a Jewish person to think that Gentiles would have any participation or involvement or blessing in the whole program of God because they're not the seed of Abraham. Right? Gentiles were outcasts. Brother Reagan mentioned it this weekend that, you know, in the Jewish temple, in Solomon's temple, there was the court of the Gentiles. And it was kind of an outer area where the Gentiles could gather and they could observe what was taking place in the Jewish form of worship. But they could not go in the tabernacle. They could not offer sacrifices. They could not have any access to the Holy of Holies. They could only see it from afar off. So Gentiles were not considered participants in worship. They were rather just observers of worship from a distance, but they had no direct blessing or involvement in what went on in the program of God. They were considered outside of it. Isaiah chapter 60. Here's what Isaiah says, though. Arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. No problem there. And verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. How in the world did a Jew back in Isaiah 60 reconcile that statement? 4, lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together and they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. And then thou shalt see and flow together and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. You tell me how in the world this is going to happen. To a Jew reading the prophecy in the Old Testament, and now all of a sudden we've got Gentile people included in the blessing. It does not compute. This does not stack up with all the other things that have been promised in the Scripture. This was to Abraham and his seed. Brother Branham said, here were the angels, though, at his birth, 1962, and how the angels must have looked down and rejoiced. Watch now, I'm not going to be long. They looked down and they rejoiced when they looked down on the manger and seen God incarnate. No wonder they began to spring. Today, in the city of David, is Christ the Savior. Angels rejoiced, swung their big wings together over the hills of Judea, and said, glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill to men. Unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior. These angels excited now because, remember now, they don't have any bias. They don't have any preconceived ideas. They're angels. They never went to the wrong schools. Hello. They were always in the presence of God, right? They're sent directly from God. Hey, angel, I need you to go down here. An angel, I need you to go down here. I got a job for you to do, and I need you to sweep streets, or I need you to crumble kingdoms, or whatever. And those angels, yes, sir, off they go. They haven't been in churches where it's been taught wrong. Hello? They haven't been influenced by CNN. They haven't been influenced by political leaders or by religious leaders or by people with different ideas. These folks hang around in the presence of God and they're just sent down there to do this. So when they go down, they know what's happening and they can see what's taking place. And they're looking at this and they see, wow, here he is. Here's Mary and Joseph coming down and they're going down through the hills there and they come to this place and they're watching over this scene here and they're just all on fire. They're just all excited. I mean, they're flat out enthused. Because they're looking at this, and this is exactly, hey, folks, don't you realize? And they don't have a voice really to say this, but they, they're looking at this and say, it's exactly what Micah said back there. It's exactly what Isaiah said back there. It's exactly, hey, folks, hey, look in the Old Testament. The roadmap's already been plotted out. It's exactly what's supposed to happen, and it's happening right here. Hello? Hello? It's happening right here. And they're flapping their wings over it. And Brother Bram said, no wonder they began to scream out and say, today in the city of David, unto you is born this Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And angels rejoiced and swung their big wings together. And they seen God's word, watch now, and that they watched over it to see it manifested. If angels are able to be on guard, no doubt there was demons that were also in the environment. And they probably looked at all of this and they said, well, we got to stop this. We got to prevent this from happening because all these angels are gathered around flapping their big wings. And you know, things are happening here. And this is very strange. This is like angels unawares. And they're looking at this and they probably are getting around and say, hey, boys, we better call down to the boss and send up some, you know, reserve troops here and get some imps up here. But these angels are looking over this and they're watching over it to make sure it's manifested. Satan didn't believe it. He said, if thou be the Son of God, if thou be. And the angel said, that he is unto you this day is born. The angels believe what God was doing, but Satan is there always to sow doubt, and he's always looking at this and trying to cause disruption there. But that's the difference, because believers look at it and they say, somehow, we don't know how, and we don't know whether we could ever pass this on to anybody else, and we certainly cannot. But we look at it and say, you know what? Something inside tells me this is of God, and I believe it nonetheless. But there are all kinds of devils around that are, you know, that are whispering to you and everybody else saying, you know, it couldn't be this time. Couldn't be here. Couldn't be now. Couldn't be in Hickory. Could anything good come out of Hickory? Good question. Could anything good come out of Newton? Like Fig? Could anything good come out of Lenore? Could anything good come out of, look around. I mean, this is one of the leading painkiller drug abuse places in the country. It's in the top 10. And I read that a little while ago. One of the social worker, I'm on a social worker email loop, you know, they send out things to pastors in the area. And I didn't sign up for it. They just Google that stuff and they send it to me. And one day I got this document that said that Hickory's in the top 10 of painkiller and opioid drug abuse places in the country. And I looked at that. I called the woman on the phone. I said, hey, I want to talk to you directly. You wrote this. Is this true? And she sent me, well, here's where I got my information. And she sent me this website that had all this listing of towns and cities in the country. And per capita, Hickory is listed in the top 10 of some of the most abusive places. And hey, folks, I used to live in southern Ohio. I used to live right near West Virginia, and I've read Dreamland, and I understand a lot about what happens in the country in relation to this. And hickory is in the top 10. And you're thinking, could anything good come out of hickory? That's a good question. But I'm here to tell you, yes. Could anything good come out of Shingle Hollow? It's a stretch, but yes. Because somehow or another, God has taken a few from places which are not the most glamorous. Lincolnton, hello? Places that are not the most exciting and the most sensible places, and you know, the top 10 places to retire in the world. Hey, God has not gone there. God's gone to places like this, and He's chosen people like you, and He's come to you and said, "Unto us this day, in the city of Hickory, in the city of Lenore, in the village of Shingle Hollow, is born." Think about it this way. Think about it this way. That now, hindsight's a great thing, isn't it? Think about it now, that if you were back there with those shepherds, and you're out there tending your flocks by night, and whoa, I really can't say it just right, but whoa, look at this. And then all of a sudden they're afraid, and the angels start to sound out, and they're saying, glory to God in the highest, and they're singing the praises of this Messiah that's born in the cave, and they, you know, go see Him. So they go see. With hindsight, really, if you were one of those shepherds now, if we could put you if we could put you in a time capsule, if we could put you in the imagination station and send you back to that field, and knowing what you know, and you could come in to see that little baby in that little manger, knowing what you know, what would be your cry? I've thought about this week. You know, in the middle of all of our activities and everything else, I thought about this week. What would be my cry if I was able to go back and stand there in that scene and look in and see that manger there? You know what my cry would be if I was there? I would say, "Jesus, be born in me." Because that's really what He came to do, wasn't it? Was to be born and come into a human form so that He could die and shed His blood and pay the price so that we could be able to say, truly, it's God with us. And then when that happened there, then it made it possible for the Holy Spirit to come inside sinful human flesh. And He could actually be born inside of us. And so if we went back into that stable there with those shepherds, we could say, "Jesus, be born in me." Not only there, but Lord, be born in me. That would be that would be the cry of revelation of somebody who walked into there. Knowing what we know now, coming up here with the understanding that we have and walking in there. Lord, not just born in the earth there. We thank God that You're born in the earth, but I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this birth. I want to be a part of this program. And Lord, be born in me, not just born in the manger here, but Lord, be born in my heart so that You can live here and fulfill Your promise to me and fulfill Your attributes, express Your attributes in me. Brother Bram said that God usually does things contrary to the way that people have it figured out. He said, look at those priests there. They couldn't believe that Jesus came like that, born in a manger. Always done that. God always done that. He did it in the antediluvian destruction. And in my opinion, brother clergyman, when Jesus appears the second time, here we go, it'll be altogether different than what we got it figured out it'll be. He hides it from the eyes of the wise and prudent and will reveal it unto babes such as will learn. It is spiritually understood. It is not dependent on your brains. It is not dependent on the length of your degree. It is not dependent on anything else except a spiritual understanding. So no wonder people look in the Scripture. And those Jews must have looked at those passages out of Isaiah 60. I can imagine that when it came time to read that in the synagogue, they must have probably read it quickly and passed over it. Because even though it was in the confines of the Old Testament and it was in the sacred words of Isaiah, they must have read it without any revelation, because that would have to have been spiritually understood. It would have to have been spiritually understood. And when the people came and they looked at Jesus on the earth, and you know, Jesus, you know, he had different experiences, and they must have been waiting for him to kind of say something that would involve the Gentiles. But you remember that when that woman came to him and she said, he said, "Master, you know, my daughter is sick, and we just speak the word and my daughter will be healed." And Jesus said, "Hey, the food on the master's table is not for the dogs." And she essentially brushed the Gentiles off. And the people there, the Jewish people, must have looked at that and said, "Wow, look at the way he speaks about the Gentiles. Look at the way he speaks about them." And it must have, you know, even though we're glad he didn't favor the Gentiles, is he really the Messiah? Because he didn't favor the Gentiles. You can imagine how they must have looked at that and wondered, wow, is he for the Gentiles or against the Gentiles? The old Isaiah said he was going to be for the Gentiles, that they would be delivered. And they'd be converted under this Messiah's ministry. And they're looking at this whole thing and scratching their head. You know what they didn't have? They didn't have what you have, and that is a spiritual understanding. It was Emmanuel. In other words, he was the expressed image of Jehovah here on the earth, as Jehovah veiled in flesh, living here on the earth, the only begotten of the Father from his bosom. That's exactly who he was. And if that's who he was going to embody and he was going to fulfill every single thing that was said about him. It was going to come to pass just exactly the way that God had said it was going to be, but it was not in the way that they figured out. You had to have spiritual understanding in order to really catch what God was doing. And again, I'm closing here, but in Spiritual Food and New Season in 1965, Brother Bram said, you know, we come through denominational stages of the growth of the plant, but when you can come to say that I and my Father are one, that Christ actually is born in me, and these other things, then the shuck pulls away from it, and the real genuine bride church will bring forth the entire Word of God in its fullness and in its strength, for He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you're looking for a big congregation and a big, you know, fancy thing and, you know, a movement with a lot of money and a lot of class and a lot of pizzazz and a lot of, you know, stuff where everything is together, and sometimes you're sitting here and saying, hey, if I walk in that church again and somebody's sitting in my pew, I'm going to find me another church. And if that Brother Peter don't get the sound system just right, I'll tell you what. If there's any more feedback in this church, I'm out of here. Because I don't like feedback and I don't want to have it. And we want to have everything just right. You know, in our natural way, we want to have everything just right. And God, Brother Bram says, the key is that many people miss Him by the way He reveals Himself. Because He will actually take simple people who don't always get it right and reveal Himself through them. That God will take circumstances that are not always ideal in a group of people that are not by any means perfect. And everybody said, amen. And look at that group of people, and God will choose them and reveal Himself as the bride of Christ through those people. It is not how anyone's got it figured out in the end time. Let's stand to our feet. It is not logically how it ought to be. It is not the way that common sense would make sense. It is just not that way. It is a way that God already has planned out. God has already got it figured out. And God's got it already determined. And the rest of the world is going to scratch their heads until this is all over. Wow. All I want to do is get you to welcome aboard. You didn't take offense by any of those things. No. All right. Do we sing that little chorus, "Let your word be born in the manger of my heart"? Let it live in me. Let it start. Do we sing that one? Do we have the words of that song? "Let your word be born in the manger of my heart." All I want you to do is see that, hey, we have this idea about what Bethlehem looks like. We have this idea of how Jesus was born. And then when you look at the scriptures and the actual events that took place, it was kind of rough. It would have been surprising for you to jettison, you know, yourself back there in that age and look at that and say, wow, you know, this is really neat. There was bloodshed. There was violence. There was an invading army that had set up shop. There were taxes levied, and there were people who were dying all around you. And yet right in the middle of that, with Pontius Pilate and his brothers and all the family in charge of the whole situation, God does one of the greatest things He ever does in the history of the world. Brother Bram says, here we go. He says, right in the end time, God's probably going to do the same kind of thing. Wow. Wow. "Let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Let it live in me. Let it stay.
of clay and mold it every day. Let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Just a little higher. Let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Let it live in me. Let it start. Live inside this house of clay and mold it every day. Let your Everybody sing it now. Make it your prayer this morning. Let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Let it live in me. Let it start. And mold it in. Jesus, we enthrone you. Here we go. Jesus, we enthrone you. You don't know that one? All right, let's switch. Let's switch. We need to practice that song. That's a great song. He's all I need. He's all I need. Let's sing that this morning. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus. Again now. Oh, he is all I need. I know he's all I ever need. Jesus, he is all I need. He's all.
again now. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. His name is called. Settle for less than good in our lives. We love to have things right. We love to have things good. We love to have things smooth and everything work out. But you know, we live in a fallen world and we realize it's probably not going to be that way. But there's something in us that calls for perfection. And that's why we feel frustrated at times. We feel saddened and maddened at times. We feel that way because we want things to be right. We want to live in a perfect world. We want to live in a world that makes sense. We want to live in a world where there's justice and peace. We want to live in a place that's safe. We want to live in a place where there's no strife and no heartache, no tears. We want to live that way. And there's something in us that calls for that and longs for that. There's a lot of people in this world longing for this world to be a better place. Not me. I'm looking to go to a world that is better. This world is not going to be better at all. And that's the difference. Being the seed of Abraham, we know the promise, and we long for that promise to be fulfilled. Lord, do it. And you know what? Take us out of this world. Take us out of this imperfection. Bring us to that place. That's our desire. That's where we want to go, and that's where we want to be. In the longing of our hearts, that's what's real. But you know what? We're not going to be able to do it ourselves. It's the spiritual understanding that God gives us. It's revelation and faith. It builds rapturing faith that allows us to be able to step into that higher plane where it's all going to unfold one day. Until then, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. Time now. We need you, Lord. Need you, Lord. Yes, we need you, Lord. Right now. Need you, Lord. Need you, Lord. Right now. Lift our hands. And your throne. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. In Jesus' name, we press. Press on, dear Lord, with the prize clear before our eyes, we find the strength. Press on. Sing it one more time now. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we press on. Lord Jesus, we are so dependent upon you, Lord. We're so mindful of our need of you, Lord, because without spiritual understanding, we'd never be able to navigate with confidence through the world that we live in. Lord Jesus, circumstances, they change so quickly, Lord. Violence that fills the earth. And Lord, many other people who look in the Scripture and try to study it and piece it together, Lord, they come up with almost a complete picture. And Lord, we would be no different except we are the seed of Abraham. Except you've given us a spiritual understanding. And Lord, so therefore we're able to believe when a prophet put pieces together and tied loose ends together. We can see with spiritual eyes, Lord, how this becomes your doing. This becomes you fulfilling your word. Lord Jesus, we are thankful to be able to see and understand in our day. Father God, we think about those people back 2,000 years ago and how it must have been a great mystery to them to see that unfold in such a difficult time. But Lord, you did it anyway. Nothing hindered you and no unbelief slowed you down. The personalities of the cosmos didn't hinder you. But Lord, you allowed your word to be fulfilled in your season. And now here we are, Lord, living in our time. And Father God, we're excited because you're doing things. And we're catching it, Lord. We're understanding it as it unfolds and reveals itself. And Lord Jesus, I pray now that you would just continue, Lord, to just show us and just teach us, Lord. And just enthuse our hearts, grip our hearts, Lord, with the revelation of your word. Lord, we believe that greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. We have no fear about what the future holds because we know that you're our guide and our leader. And so, Lord Jesus, we just want to say we thank you and we love you. And we just pray that you would just minister to each and every soul that's here today. Heal the sick, Lord, and calm those that are troubled. May, Lord Jesus, you lead us in the path of your perfect will. We love you with all of our heart, Lord. We just say, order our steps, Lord, because we want to be right in tune with you. Bless each one, Lord, and we pray. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. And amen. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name, I give you honor, give you praise. You are the life, the truth. You go this morning. We'll sing this as we go. Pick up your survey as we go. Service tonight. Brother Steve's going to take it for bringing in our new year at 5 o'clock. And we have your classes this afternoon also as well. And may the Lord richly bless you. We appreciate you all being here today. Stay warm. We'll see you at 5 o'clock this afternoon. May God bless you as you go. In prisoner's chains with bleeding stripes. find